How did you get involved with this project?
We had this. I was an employee of the ERC earlier, and we had this project going on for a shorter time with someone else in charge of it. And as it moved up where my expertise came into more relevance, I was asked if I could take this project over when the other person left. And as it moved from the science to the engineering, I got a bigger role in the project. And right now, yeah, I'm in the lab.
Do you think of it really as an engineering project more than as a science project of some sort?
Definitely it's an engineering project. The science we leave to the pharmacists and the people in industrial and physical pharmacy. So they tell us what substance would be the best thing to have in a certain drug product. And then we go about doing the actual engineering of depositing it in a final drug product form, going from a drug substance to a drug product, making sure that the product consistency is being met by all the product that we are making, quality assurance after the fact, and also process control during the fact. So if there's anything that's going wrong, we can detect it immediately. We don't have to make a large batch and then test it after the fact. We can do a lot of quantitative data analysis, monitoring and control during, and make sure that future product is on spec. When I say future product, it's within 5 seconds in the future. So it's pretty real time when you think about it. So all the this production facility is like a test bed for all the algorithms we develop for real time process monitoring, control, fault detection, diagnosis, and so forth.
Tell me about the rig. Describe to me the various things that go on here.
We have a couple different versions of this rig. This we found after a lot of trial and error and past improvements with different technologies. This is about, I would say, the sixth incarnation of the whole concept. It's the second or third incarnation of this specific version. But we have, the core is a positive displacement pump, and it's a microliter or submicroliter level of precision and accuracy. And you can, as you see here, when you trigger the pump, you can send 1 to 2 drops depending on how you have configured it. Usually we configure it so that we get 1 drop per spin. And that drop is depending on other pump parameters which we can change. You can get anywhere from about 1 microliter to about 30 plus microliters. And you can get pretty precise that microliter volume measurement. That's done online in real time with this vision system here. So we take an image of the droplet as it ejects the nozzle in midair. And based on that image, we can convert those pixels into a volume reading. And that's extremely accurate and repeatable. We get less than 1% for 1% repeatability for many of the runs that we have done. For FDA regulations, in most cases, it's 3% or 6%, depending on the drug product in question. But we are well within the product spec, and we can meet many things that we can produce here. Now, the other thing is, in addition to the vision system, so that measures the quantity of what's going in. Right now, over the last year or so, we've been doing a lot of quality measurements so that when we send a drug substance or drug product out here and we are waiting for, if you're sending a solution, we want the solvent to evaporate so that you get a solid form at the end. If you're sending a melt through, then we want it to solidify. So we have been doing a lot of studies offline. So we make the drug product in question and then test it offline using microscopy, spectroscopy, hot stage microscopy, many things. We are analyzing it for crystal form, morphology, and making sure that what we sent out is what we had going in. That solvent goes in, solvent goes out. You're left with what you started. It didn't change crystal form on you. And what you're left with is still pharmacologically active, and it's the exact product that you want. And right now we are in the process of making that part online as well, so that when we get, when we deposit something on the substrate in our case would be a placebo tablet, then you can make sure that it's in the exact crystal form that you want. And we have lots of ways. A grad student, Elchin Echtin, she's the one who's been developing a lot of control techniques for making sure that the crystal form is what you want it to be by changing the temperature profile of the pump, of the tubing, of many other things in the system.
You mentioned this was about the sixth incarnation of this. How long time-wise is it taken to get from the start to this version?
I would say, including the time that the rig has spent before I was involved with this specific project, it's been about 5 years. I've been involved in the project for just about two and a half years myself. But before that, the former technology that was tried out was a piezo drop deposition. So that's very similar to an inkjet printer, where you have a little piezo head, and that can deposit things down to the picoliter level. It's extremely precise. The trouble is not so much that we were not getting precision. We were getting excellent precision. The drops, however, were so small that they really made sense only if your medication was that powerful. And most medication doesn't need picoliter. Strong medication might need nanoliter, but most of the time you can easily do with microliter. And that's this technology is much better suited to the scales we are envisioning. Not so much, we don't want to be able to say, I made 5 drops and it took me 20 minutes, but boy, were they precise. That's not what we are going for. We are going for something that you can use in a reasonable time, and you can scale it up, you can individualize it to a patient, or you can use it for clinical studies. Anything that's small that you're not doing, you're not going to be competing with manufacturing tablets. You're not going to be competing at 1 million tablets per hour. That's the scale that many of them can go to, hundreds of thousands or up to 1 million tablets per hour. But this is meant for small batches of clinical trials or a small batch of drug products specifically tailored to an individual, anything of that sort, this is a good technology for those cases.
So if I needed a medication made specifically for me, you might come back here and make 30 or 60 tablets for me, assuming you've got my profile already ready.
Yes, and that's not an individual project. There is a separate project, and Pocheng De Laurentiis is the research scientist who's been heading that project. They have done a lot of statistical and medical work that says they can do a lot of modeling of patients. So they can, right now they've nailed it down to exactly 2 blood draws per patient, but the basic principle is that they draw a blood sample just before, give a small quantity of the drug, and then wait about half an hour and then take another blood sample to see how much of this blood has gone into the bloodstream right now. And based on that data, you can do a lot of prediction. The modeling there is pretty interesting in its own right. I'm not the best person to talk about the details of the modeling, but Pocheng, if you're getting in touch with her, she will explain a lot more about it. And they have done a lot of work in saying, this is how you build a model. This is how you tailor the model parameters to an individual patient. But using that model can be used to predict, given this patient, this is exactly how many milligrams they need per day. And keep in mind, the doctor will say what substance it is, but they can use Pocheng's model to say how much of it should be done per day based on that patient's medical and genetic factors and so forth. But now if they come up with some oddball number, and there may not be a drug product with that specific dosage form, if you come and say, I need exactly 2.5 milligrams every 3 hours or something like that, there simply might not be a drug product. You might have a round number like 5 mg, 10 mg, or 20 mg, but now the smallest tablet, how do you subdivide it? If you cut it in half, the coating, you're not going to get the exact product you want. That's not a reliable method of cutting a tablet in half is not reliable. But we can make a specific drug amount, a drug product with a specific dosage that you need to a specific patient. And this is a good technology for such individualization or personalization.
Is that one of the problems, is that people, when they, you know, quote-unquote self-medicate, they're doing things such as cutting the tablet in halves or in quarters, and they're, in effect, you know, not doing as much good as they could?
Cutting a tablet in half is usually a really bad idea, mainly because you don't know, most people, if they don't know the tablet, how it was made, the tablet can have a coating on it which is meant to make it dissolve at a certain controlled and prescribed rate. So if you're cutting it, that coating, you have now exposed two surfaces which are no longer coated, so you're going to get instant dissolution. So cutting a tablet in half or quarters is really not a good idea. And this is much more common with pediatric doses because sometimes you're trying to dial it down for the kid, and that's an even worse idea because you have now a coated tablet that you have just defeated the coating of, and you're giving it to a kid who's most likely the metabolism is very different from that of an adult, and you have no idea how much of this drug is going to get in. An accidental overdose is quite possible when you're doing things of that sort. But even if you're not doing self-medication or quantity medication of that sort, many times the doctor can, this is especially true for oncology regimens, sometimes they don't have enough data to say how much exactly a patient needs. So they sometimes will start with a baseline amount as recommended by a combination of past experience and the drug product manufacturer, their own clinical data, and so forth. And if the patient is, if the side effects are too intense, then they will dial it down after about 6 weeks to a month, sometimes 2 months. And if now you're not getting any therapeutic benefit at all, you increase it again. So this is a pretty trial and error procedure. And this is especially true for certain oncology agents because it's very difficult to tailor those individually to the patient without some sort of quantitative data. But if you had that quantitative data and now the model tells you you now need this oddball number which is not there on the market, well, that's where we come in. We fill that gap and say we can make that exact dosage amount that you want in the form you want it, so that you can take what you need specifically for this person. There are some trials going on. IU is doing a pretty big study, so they are doing a lot of the medical research part of it. We are doing the engineering part of it, and our own IPPH, we have colleagues there. Lynn Taylor is the main professor there who is involved in this. So she is helping us with a lot of the formulation part, and we are doing the engineering part.